Oh, am I starting this?
Yeah, you're starting.
Oh
I
man,
haven't looked at that.
I've scrolled down just enough to where. Hey, introduction. Hi, we're the Fantasy Fight Night podcast.
That is correct. That is all correct.
Yeah,
Uh,
and I had
how's it
my docket
going?
scrolled down to where I couldn't see that I was supposed to do the introduction. So we're gonna leave that in for everyone's viewing pleasure,
I'm good with
because
that.
I am not. I am in my mother's basement where I'm on vacation, so I'm on my laptop. The audio quality and visual quality is not up to par. It's an outdated laptop. We're still trying it. We're gonna make it work. My
We
headphones
are
aren't actually.
absolutely going to make it work.
Yeah, we figured it out. So we have football
So,
this week. It's
yes,
exciting.
I'm so excited. I am the most excited I've been, I think, in several years for football. I think the last time I was this excited was, I want to say the opening night was Falcons Eagles, I think was what it was. And I had a bunch of people come over, and Julio Jones went off for like 200 yards and two touchdowns, and he was on my fantasy team, and it was like it couldn't have been better.
Was I
But
invited to
before we,
that?
yeah, I think you were there. I think Trevor was there. I think a whole lot of people were there. I
Oh,
was
was I
super,
actually
super
there?
stoked. I
Oh,
think you
okay.
were.
Oh,
But anyway, before we hop
I don't
into the
remember.
show, I want to plug. We've got other shows. Adam is a co-host on another podcast called the Kurt Crew Fantasy Podcast. I'm a co-host on another show called Bed Bath and Beyond. You can find those both on where you listen to podcasts. We're on YouTube for this show and on Bed Bath and Beyond. And if you want other sports content, you can check out b3tsports.com. Fantasy Fight Night is brought to you by b3tsports.com. What do you want to start with today?
I think we're gonna go with this stat of the week. That's how we're
Like,
gonna.
I'm all in. Oh, I'm blank.
And the Konami code, the cheat code to fantasy football is running quarterbacks. So, why not look at a particular sample and not at whatever's showing up on Andy's screen?
I'm so blurry and I don't know. It does this sometimes. Sometimes I gotta get. There we
It's
go.
horrifying.
There
This
I'm
microphone
fixed.
showed up, and I was very concerned as to what it was based on its shape.
Anyway.
Family-friendly show. It green-screened your can. That was really funny.
Did it really?
Yeah. Oh, we're so ADD on this show. Oh, that's
Oh, that's
incredible.
so perfect. Because I could drink without feeling bad.
Except for when you tilt it up, you see the silver bottle bottom, and everything comes back. All right. Konami code, cheat code, rushing quarterbacks. Two reasons. One, rushing provides an incredible floor and an incredible ceiling. Two, rushing touchdowns are worth 6 points. And in some leagues where commissioners are dumb, passing touchdowns are only worth 4 points. So a rushing touchdown is actually worth more than a passing touchdown.
Right.
And I fought that for years. I've just accepted it. But when someone rushes for 11 rushing attempts a game, you should
They're basically a
probably,
running back.
yeah, you should probably have them on their team. They're a San Francisco running back, with based on the attempts that they get.
Baltimore Ravens running back.
Yeah, and it's like two positions in one, and you all are going, oh, we don't need to hear about Lamar Jackson. He won MVP. It's not Lamar Jackson. It's not. He
I
doesn't
mean,
run the ball
well,
that much.
I mean, it is Lamar Jackson, but there are other options out there that people don't necessarily
Yeah,
know
but it's a
about.
stat of the week. 11 rushing attempts per game last
Oh,
year.
yeah, specifically.
Jalen Hurts, the stat of the week. They are playing the Atlanta Falcons. It doesn't matter. Just play him week one. If you have him in DFS, go get him. Just in any format, Jalen Hurts is going to smash
Oh, yeah,
everything this
absolutely.
week. I am excited to be able to start him. I'm starting him over Dak Prescott because the Cowboys are going to get crapped on by the Buccaneers. And
You know, so while you say that, before I get into my stat of the week, the opening line for we've got we have the Bucks obviously as the favorite. They're minus 365 on the money line, and I want to say that they are an 8-point favorite. Would you feel confident in smashing 8 points?
absolutely.
You think so?
Oh my gosh, it's not going to be close.
Here's the thing. I know that the Bucks offense is good and the Cowboys defense is bad. Like, I know that that's going to result in points, but I'm not so sure that the Bucks offense is that much better than the Cowboys offense.
Yes.
I don't know.
I have a Zeke jersey because I made a bet with you. I know. Believer. My dynasty team has Dak, Amari. I tried so hard to get CeeDee Lamb this offseason to add to that sack. And I have Zeke. I have been all over this. And I am so confident that they are going to get blown out. I don't bet. I legitimately put money on the Buccaneers winning because I am willing to take that to the bank and beating the spread. And actually, I took the money line, but because I can't do it. I'm wired differently, but
every week I make my 10 team parlay. It's kind of fun. Like,
I watch it. I looked at that.
Yeah.
I have two 16 parlays that I think are going to hit.
It's like, I love that kind of stuff. Like, I mean, 10 teams is a lottery ticket. I'm aware of it. Anyone who's looking at that article is aware of it. And if they're not, they're delusional. However, it's fun. I like to do it. And I break it down into like three team parlays. There's the one that I'm like, you know, the can't lose. And then I've got the idiot parlay. I took the Washington football team, the Giants, and the, who else did I take in that?
Bills?
No,
Falcons. You took the Falcons.
Yes, I took the Falcons, and I was kind of like, you know, that's a parlay that definitely just shouldn't hit in general because of the Washington football team and because of the Giants. It's just wild.
Well, we don't know what the Chargers are going to be. I mean, the football team was actually a better team than the Chargers based off of.
They had a better defense. Yeah, they had a better defense,
and they improved their quarterback. And both the teams improved and got healthier, so we'll see.
Well, the Chargers have the most improved offensive line probably in the entire league from like last year to this year. Now, I'm not saying they have the best, but definitely the most improved. I mean, they had a very horrid offensive line. So anyway, but my stat of the week is not a specific stat, but I did see Fantasy Pros does this thing where they stat out the players for the upcoming season, and this is where they've got Saquon Barkley, and I kind of want to bounce it off of you and have a discussion about him because there's a lot of talk about Saquon in the fantasy world right now, right? They have him at 2,300. Sorry. Okay, these are last year's and the year before stats. These are just combined stats. So over the last 31 games he's played, 2,344 rushing yards, 1,219 receiving yards, 23 total touchdowns, and he's had, you know, the three career seasons, but I don't really want to call last year. It wasn't like a season. He played, what was it, one game, something like that?
Yeah, I think it was against the Bears. It was like 3 weeks.
Yep. Now, what they have him slated for this season is over 1,600 total yards, 56 receptions, and 11 total touchdowns. Would you bet the over on that stat line or the under on that stat line?
I would bet the under because, look, when Eli Manning was there, they at least had some competent line play. They still had Odell Beckham Jr. Kenny Golladay, Evan Ingram aren't healthy to start off. That offensive line is putrid. They took Andrew Thomas over Tristan Wirfs, and it's like, what are you doing? He was awful in the preseason. He looked horrendous.
They have not had good luck with their offensive line picks either.
And Daniel Jones? And to be fair, I think on a different team, he's actually a good quarterback. I truly believe that.
I don't mind him. I've never looked at Daniel Jones and thought that is a bad quarterback.
His advanced analytics say that he's middle of the pack, not bottom. So
I just think that
his supporting cast. Jason Garrett is your offensive coordinator, and it's offensive that he is.
I don't know. I my thing with Saquon is I'm a huge believer. I've always been a huge believer. I'm one of the people that when you talk about a generational talent at the position, he is legitimately a generational talent at the position. It's not like Najee Harris is going to be good for fantasy football. He's a good running back. But there are people out there every single year where you take one of the top running backs picked and they go, he's generational. No, Najee Harris is not a generational talent.
No.
Saquon Barkley is a generational talent. I wouldn't even say Jonathan Taylor is. No, I love Jonathan Taylor. But, like, I'm just...
Ezekiel Elliott may fall into that. Yeah.
No, exactly. And that's
a huge Zeke lover, and he's like a maybe.
Saquon is built differently. His legs are insane. His metrics are insane. His speed combined with his size, absolutely nuts. So if anyone's going to come back from, I mean, think about, I'm not like trying to shoehorn the Saquon Barkley is Adrian Peterson narrative, but if I'm talking about people who could come back from an injury, like Peterson did it. Saquon, I think, could do it.
I don't have the concern with the injury. It is, this team is going to be that bad.
Sure.
I think they are the worst team in the NFC.
Okay. I thought you were going to say NFL, and I was going to have to fight you there. That would be our first fantasy fight night.
Texans.
The Texans are back.
People are super low on the Falcons and Eagles. And I don't know
why people are so low on the Falcons. Bad defense is bad defense. But if you can score points in the NFL, you can win
but
games.
They have a habit of not closing out games. I mean, they pick number four overall with Matt Ryan staying healthy the entire year with Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. Now, Julio was in and out of the lineup, but they lost in impressive fashion last year.
I agree.
To the Bears,
several times.
The Cowboys in like the first weeks three and four, they had some of the worst. Now you hope with the new coaching staff, Arthur Smith, all that's going to change up. I think that it does. I truly think that Joe Judge and his people retiring in the middle of camp, veterans just like, I'm done with football, rather than having to acknowledge this contract.
I've noticed that too.
The brawls, just how everything was handled, just their injuries. I truly believe that they are the worst team in the NFC.
Have they reported on Kenny Galladay yet and his status with his hamstring?
They said that he's warming up and that he should be ready to go for week one. But, you know, I was being told that a lot. I had Kenny Galladay on a redraft roster last year, and I finally had to cut bait because it just doesn't look – he has a history of this now.
Yeah, absolutely. I do want to say this for people who are scared of that. Yeah, he does have a history, but I want people to understand history in quotation marks. He sat last year with a hamstring injury, but he was also in deep contract negotiations. This was not I'm not playing because I'm not healthy. It's I stopped playing because I was not healthy and I don't want to hurt my future contract. I'm not saying that doesn't say it could be for real. I just want people to know. Like, it's the same thing with Christian McCaffrey last year. A lot of novice fantasy players will go, well, he didn't play at all last year. They didn't play him because they didn't want to hurt him. They didn't want to wreck their chances of him in the future.
That's important. They didn't have a shot at the playoffs by the time he was back. It's like, take the whole time. You are going to be 100% coming into week one next year as opposed to getting dinged up again and surgery and rehab and the whole thing. He got all the time to get healthy. So
exactly. And he is healthy and he's going 101 overall and even super
is coming like from
flex formats. Like,
do you have a personal bias to this?
is there any indicator
that you are biased in this situation? See, I don't need a green screen.
He's a Bears fan. Obviously I am a Panthers fan. I've been a Panthers fan forever, but,
for Cam Newton.
No, that is a story I'll tell one day, but Cam Newton is the reason I was a Panthers fan.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, 2015 Cam, completely different animal, man. I wish I could have seen that just one more time, but he's done. Now, when he signs somewhere, he'll be one of the best backups in the league, but until that happens. Anyway, those are our stats of the week. You want to go over news and notes?
Yeah, so news and notes. This was interesting. Justice Hill, one of the backup running backs for the Baltimore Ravens, tore his Achilles. And they were it's not good, especially after you just lost J.K. Dobbins. It's not good. Not great, Bob. What happened is Le'Veon Bell and Devontae Freeman got looks from them. So
I'm okay with that. How much does that bother you for Gus?
Oh, I'm all aboard the Gus bus. I am all aboard. I took him in the fourth round of our analyst draft that you were in. Yeah. And you know, Gus Bus, in a home league, I could have waited a long time for him based off of his ADP. I had to take him in the fourth round. Yeah.
Here's the thing, just so people are aware, like, yeah, they're looking at signing these other guys, but Gus Edwards was not a pass catcher anyway. He, like, them adding a pass catcher is not going to affect the fact
that I don't even think it counts as a pass catcher. They need bodies.
Yeah, they only have two startable running backs on the roster. I mean, they're going to take Gus Edwards and give him his 15 carries a game no matter what. And he's always been very efficient.
He's averaged five yards a carry. So you can take 75 yards and half a touchdown basically to the bank. And if he pops off a longer one or gets more touches, it's a good day for you.
You're not, and you're, if depending on your roster construction, he's your RB2 or 3. He's not your RB1. So, I mean, it's not like you're.
Don't be a zero RB guy.
Don't be that guy. In an 8-team league, but not in a 10 or 12 team league.
I don't deal with 8-team leagues because it's weird.
I don't either. But I'm just saying there are casual players out there. That's a
Barkley is out there projected to be full go.
What do you think? He's gonna be a pitch count, or do you think that they're gonna like?
No, I think that they'll use him, and I don't think it'll matter because I think that the Broncos are gonna beat the snot out of him.
You really think they'll beat the snot out of him?
I think it's going to be ugly. That defense.
I think Von the whole thing is going to be ugly.
They were fifth in sacks last year. Von Miller didn't play for them. You had Patrick Surtain and Kyle Fuller on the outside. That means the quarterback has to have somebody open.
And now, that's not necessarily true. I do want to say there is almost not a single, if he's healthy, there's almost not a single guy who's better at contested catch than Kenny Galladay. So you don't necessarily have to be open, but you do have to get lucky.
I did on the wrong side. Go look at the matchups between Kyle Fuller and Kenny Galladay. It doesn't end well for Kenny.
I'm sure it doesn't. Because, I mean, jump balls are, you know, that's just what they are. They're jump balls. But I am saying.
Kenny G's not healthy.
Exactly.
I trust Barkley more than Kenny G.
That is also very much, I agree with that.
So Clyde Edwards-Helaire and DeAndre Swift, two second year running backs who managed to not go down for season, but had some injury bugs. It looks like they're going to be full goes for week one for both of them. I totally believe
the Chiefs when they say that Clyde's going to be healthy. I don't know if I believe the Lions when they say Swift is going
to
be healthy.
I think they need Swift to be healthy.
Jamal Williams is not going to be an RB1.
I don't think it's going to matter, though, because the Niners are going to beat the crap out of them. They're going to just run the ball down their throat. It's going to be – there's a couple of these first week one matchups that are ugly. And then Zach Martin got COVID.
Did he get COVID, or is he just in the protocol?
He's in the protocol, but he's not playing Thursday night. So potential future Hall of Famer at right guard for the Dallas Cowboys.
And I don't know who they're going to play there.
I don't know, but it's going to be awful because Lyle Collins, I think, on their tackle.
Yeah.
He's not back from injury yet. I think they're going to be missing two starting linemen against a defense that allowed.
Is one of the best in the league.
They allowed 58.5 rushing yards per game last year. And but you're missing two starting offensive linemen, and they started Joe Tryon, and the Bucs brought everyone back. It's going to be bloody. I'm legitimately not starting Zeke in my leagues, because I can't. The rushing is not going to be there. The rushing touchdowns are not going to be there.
That could be all right, but we should probably. I would love to run through this. Like when you say you're not starting Zeke, like who are you starting over Zeke? Because like that's probably.
I'll hold this up on my phone.
No, absolutely, because I think that's
Trevor's bothering me. That guy. Trevor's going to come up a lot because we may have to get him to guest on here. We will both actually fight him. And he'd actually kill both of us because he's, you know, a soldier. But I have Eckler and Gibson starting over him.
Yeah, I mean, that's not bad. I am willing
to start David Montgomery against the Rams and that's awful offensive line. But they have allowed runners through. That secondary is terrifying. Passing against them is terrifying. If you can double team block on a run against Aaron Donald, you actually can run effectively against the Rams. And I take the pass catching work from Andy Dalton.
I think that I'm okay with Gibson over Zeke if you needed to, and Eckler over Zeke. Especially in PPR, I'd take Eckler over Zeke if you needed to. I think I'm drawing the line I think I'm going to draw the line at the end there. I'm probably playing Zeke. I mean, it just, especially if you're, looking at your redrafts. I mean, it's just.
Yeah, in redrafts, I didn't get him in either of my redrafts, unfortunately.
I think I got him in both the redrafts.
Yeah, I got, and because of that, I got Aaron Jones in both the redrafts, who's been the running back 3 and 5, so I have no complaints, and I was further back in the draft than you. But.
Sure, no complaints. But do you have Aaron Jones finishing as a top 5 back again this year?
Yeah.
I do not. I think with Barkley and McCaffrey and Chubb playing a full 17, I think it's just going to push Jones back. Plus, Aaron Rodgers is on that revenge tour.
Yeah, but Aaron Rodgers had an impossible touchdown like percentage. He threw so many touchdowns. Sure. His percentage was so high. And he finished his RB5 with regression coming his way. Now, everyone faded him last year because he had such a high touchdown rate the year before, but he was utilizing the passing game. Jamal Williams is gone. He's going to get the passing work. So I'm very high on that.
I also want to say, yeah, Aaron Rodgers did have a ridiculous touchdown rate. But to be fair, he always has a ridiculous touchdown.
He's had higher than average. He always is higher than average. Incredibly efficient. What he did last year was bonkers.
Bonkers.
Yeah, like crazy Pat Mahomes. Like if he had another wide receiver that could catch the ball.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking
now at now he got like Randall Cobb.
Yeah. You're looking at Peyton Manning. Patrick Mahomes type seasons. Like, if you have a Randy Moss and a Wes Welker, if you have that Wes Welker, there was nobody. Like, Tonyan, okay, he showed up. That's not the same thing as prime Wes Welker.
Devontae Adams should still have a phenomenal
season. Oh, absolutely. Like, that's I'm not very anything. Excited. But the Packers are still going to be good, but Aaron Jones is going to have some positive regression and touchdowns. And then Tyrod Taylor is the starting quarterback for the Houston Texans.
Who saw that coming?
Well, I mean, there still is no clarity on if Watson is out because of his legal issues or because he's just refusing to play for the team. They haven't provided clarity. The NFL hasn't suspended him, so he's on the active roster and just not going to be playing.
Yeah, but he is going to be getting paid.
Yeah, because they have the contract tied to him. And if they cut him, then someone else can sign him, or if they put him onto waivers. Like, they can't move him down to their practice squad. I mean, they are
stuck. I mean, that's just – well, it's a position they're in, and it's, to me, it's the smartest decision that they could make because they're going to lose value, tremendous value, if they trade him for a discount. And until they know what's going on, there's no reason not to hold him on your roster. You're not one trade away from a Super Bowl. You know what I mean? So hold it.
I just talked about this on the Kirk Crew Fantasy Football podcast, but my advice would be Brandon Cooks is a startable and winnable asset. Tyrod Taylor, when he had his last true starting full 16 games, which is what I would anticipate at this rate, Sammy Watkins was a wide receiver 1.
Yeah.
So let's put that
in. And he will be again in week one.
No,
no. In week one.
Okay, week one. I'm talking the whole season. Sammy Watkins incredible with Tyrod Taylor. Brandon Cooks is a fantastic asset. He is underdrafted. Go get him. He's a value if you can trade for him. Because Deshaun Watson's not there, you can sell that point, do that. Then I would wait a week to start any of the running backs. Because it's Mark Ingram was listed as a starter. David Johnson had a nice run in the preseason, but Phillip Lindsay looked like the guy.
Who is in that backfield? Who is, if you had gun to your head, have to decide who is going to be the number one running back there? Like at the end of the year, most yards, most touches. Who would you guess as the leading guy?
I would say that it's David Johnson, and it's because of his ability out of the backfield. And I bet on that drafting him in our analyst league.
Sure. Yep. Yeah. I would say it's Phillip Lindsay only because I think that he's younger. Like, if they're actually looking to build something, like, they might be just trying some of these guys out and they want to keep Phillip Lindsay and then keep one more of those guys as you're going to be the backup to Phillip Lindsay once they can establish something.
Phillip Lindsay could have gone to a lot of other teams as a backup for more money than what he took there. I don't think they view him as a starter. I think they view him as a piece. I think they got Mark Ingram to write the locker room and keep this team from killing the coach. Yeah. But I think David Johnson is still the guy. They have the money invested in him. They have the draft capital, the DeAndre Hopkins trade that they just have to eat. But I think that David Johnson truly still has talent. And I think that what's going to happen is he's going to be utilized more as the pass catcher. They're going to be down a lot. They can line him up in the slot. and use him like that, I think that he's going to be the value running back within that backfield. But and you, normally I'd be like, the Jags is a great place to play him. If you have to play him, do it. But
right.
I would, if you can, wait on just 1 week, because we don't know what's happening at all. And if it comes out and you know, Mark Ingram gets 15 carries in week one, it wouldn't shock me, is the issue. It wouldn't shock me, and that takes away the value from everyone else, but no one's starting Mark Ingram week one. You can't.
Okay, so that's news and notes. I think what we're going to move into next is we're going to end the show previewing the Thursday night game, obviously. But before we do that, we're going to talk about some of the leagues that we're in, the ones that we're most excited for, our favorite drafts, our least favorite drafts. Coincidentally, the most important league to both of us is our Cedar Falls Dynasty League. That's the Dynasty League that we've been in together for, like, what is it? It's going on 6 years now, 5 years now?
I wasn't in the initial league, so I don't know how it was going, because we have four champions on the trophy.
Right, we do, but we do have four, but there were five. Initially, it started as a redraft, but everyone was like, let's make this a dynasty league, and then we redrafted that next year with more people, and we got, you know, it was started as a 10-teamer, and then we got two more people in there. We got some expansion teams. This is the most important to me because, obviously, it's all my buddies. It's people who everyone is fairly involved, that, you know, and even people who aren't super into football, like, at least, like, I feel like they like to watch the occasional game, and it's fun to talk, and it's like, it's a $40 league. It's nothing crazy, so it's like, it's one of my more, I don't know how I want to say
it. I made that face for you, Clayney. You know who you are.
We got a couple guys who take the offseason completely off. They're like, I'm not touching my team. I'm not. Oh, man. But it is very near and dear to my heart. Do you want to go through our rosters on that there?
Yeah. So I just won the championship.
You did.
You
beat me for the championship, actually.
Yeah, you limped in there.
Well, I had a bunch of rookies. I was running six rookies.
And then I beat you with Mitch Trubisky as my quarterback.
Which is sad for everyone involved, especially
Dak Prescott. Well, Dak Prescott was my quarterback, and I was so excited. And I was like, I'm going to mow everyone down. And then I proceeded to win, starting the likes of Derek Carr, Taysom Hill, and Mitch Trubisky. I streamed quarterback in Dynasty and got to the championship. So it is possible. You can
streaming
do it.
Quarterback is the way, I tell you. I mean, like, yeah, if you can get a good matchup for the last 2-3 weeks for playoffs, do it. But you could stream. You really could.
Yeah, so this is a one QB league, full PPR. My QBs are Dak Prescott, Jalen Hurts, Derek Carr. Running backs are Austin Eckler, Antonio Gibson, David Montgomery, Ezekiel Elliott, Josh Jacobs, and Tony Pollard. Yes, I have all of the running backs, and it is awesome. Wide receivers, Amari Cooper, Mike Evans, A.J. Brown, Allen Robinson, and then I'm not going to list all my rookies except for Jamar Chase. I also have Jamar Chase waiting in the wings for me. Tight end is where I'm hurting. Andy knows it.
That
he rubs it in my face. Dallas Goedert, Adam Troutman, Cole Kmet. So I basically have a whole bunch of young guys that I'm really hoping
you've got some guys there that could do it.
And we have it would take it. I have Justin Tucker. Top 5 kicker every year.
Hell yeah.
My boy. Opera singer. And then I have 3 defenses because it's Dynasty and I don't like to let them sit. So I have the Washington football team, the Colts, and the Saints. And I expect to be contending very much this year.
Yeah, I'd say definitely you're a contender for the year. For me, my quarterbacks are Lamar Jackson and Ryan Fitzpatrick. I also have Kyle Trask. He's not even just my only rookie of note. I mean, he is almost literally my only rookie of note. Everyone else,
it's true.
I mean, like, I have my taxi squad full, but it's just guys who are like
to get this squad.
Yeah, I did, and I'm okay with it because my running backs are Barkley, Taylor, Clyde, and then I got, you know, like McKinnon as my handcuff, Booker handcuff, Hines handcuff. So those are running backs. My receivers are Devontae Adams, Julio Jones, Kenny Galladay, Mike Williams, Sammy Watkins, Kendrick Bourne, and Antonio Brown, which I'm very excited about that. I've held Antonio Brown for years. Through it all, baby. AJ Green as well. And then my tight ends, I'm laughing because I'm realizing now that I have not dropped somebody yet, but Travis Kelce, Jonnu Smith, and Tim Tebow is for some reason still on my roster. I haven't dropped him for a replacement yet, so he's still sitting there.
Magical. Just the fantasy content you are here for, folks.
Yeah, exactly. But again, so in Dynas, I mean, I'm not really missing anything. That waiver wire with our deep benches and our taxi squads, the waiver wire is super scarce. I mean, I might pick up a defense or something if I feel like there's one worth streaming over the Bills, who, I mean, yeah, the Bills are my defense. I've also got Sanders as my kicker. It's whatever. Like, I'm not upset by that. But anyway, that is my most important league. It's just sentimental. It's not necessarily like important because it's financial or anything like that.
Now, it's a league that I'm annoyingly active in.
I think same. Absolutely.
Yeah. There's about four, five. There's about six of us, a main four, and then another two that get into the mix quite frequently. Yeah. But there's four of us that run our mouths constantly, and we are two of those four.
That's
why we started this show. It really is. And then the other one I'm working on, he does B3T stuff with Alec. Love you.
Yes. Yeah, Alec for sure is. And then I'm working on
some stuff with Alec on the side that we're hoping to maybe see if we can get to be viable. But I'm not telling until we actually know if it's viable or not. So
that's a little sneak peek, baby. All right, so let's talk about your favorite draft so far before the season starts.
Do you want to start? I have to do some commissioner things real quick because I bungled our one league.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Okay, so my office league is my favorite because it's a redraft league, and I just love drafting with people at work because, you know, they're casual and it's not as big a deal to them, and they all know me in the office where I work as the fantasy guy, so it was just kind of funny. I ended up getting Tom Brady. I'm just gonna run you through my starting roster because I don't want to like bore everyone with just deep roster talk. But Tom Brady, Ezekiel Elliott, Antonio Gibson, Amari Cooper, Terry McLaurin, Higbee is my tight end. My two flexes are Mostert and Cooks. And then Robbie Gould and the Browns are my defense. Browns are going to really suck first week against the Chiefs, but their next 3 weeks after that are just so good. And I can stream if I find somebody I really like. I was very happy with this. It's a 12-team league to be able to get Zeke, Gibson, Cooper, and McLaurin. I was very, very happy with that. I had the opportunity to grab Dak, but I was very scared of running Dak, Zeke, and Cooper. Just like, you know, having a bad week, it really, I feel like it just caps you, but.
Yeah, I know. And work leagues, you know, I left my family, actually, fantasy football leagues because basically they yelled at me and basically wanted to start charging me for transactions.
That's how you're acting. That's how you win.
Yeah. And I've been in the championship or top three, I think, the last 5 years. I've only got one title, but that's not at two.
Well, at I mean, two. Like, and the other thing too is a lot of people titles matter. Everyone wants a title, yeah. But if you're in a lot of leagues that third place and second place pay out, I haven't actually physically paid to play fantasy football in years, and I play in like almost 10 leagues a year.
I've never lost money on fantasy football.
Right, exactly. So it's
I've been playing since I've been like 11.
And it's just so, and it's so fun, and I cannot think of a better way to spend all my Sundays.
But I actually left that league because they were like, they wanted to penalize me. And I'm like, why are you guys so like bent out of shape about it? Like, this is supposed to be funny. It's like you are the guy that shows up to slow pitch softball that's like a beer drinking league. You're the guy that shows up with cleats, a uniform, and slides into people. And yeah, I'll leave. So I turned to my brothers and like, let's get our best fantasy players and create a new league. And we created a League of Champions. And Ryan, my brother, and who's Ryan, never won a championship. And just
has he never won a fantasy championship?
No, that's a real thing. And it's that's so nuts. Funny. He makes one bonehead decision every single year because he gets a hot take. Because
he's good at fantasy.
He has information, but he gets locked into a, he gets take locked so bad. He does have, he has some hot takes. He is the Carolina Reaper of hot takes. Like Skip Bayless would like, oh, yeah. looks like ice compared to this guy. But it's, my favorite draft. It was kind of unique because, you know, it's a standard league. So not a lot of teams actually are, not a lot of leagues are just doing standard or starting up as a standard anymore. And so it started off and I got Aaron Jones and I think I had the 7th pick. So I got Aaron Jones, comes back around and I think only 2 non-running backs have been taken. So it's like pick 18 and I took David Montgomery and I'm like, I'm just going to lock down on RB2, take the risk and hope that value falls to me. So it comes back around. It's like pick 31, DK Metcalf sitting there. I'm like,
dude, running backs went so early in that game.
It's insane. Like people started overpaying after Montgomery, and I'm like, okay, DK Metcalf.
Well, because they had to.
And I'm like, in a normal league, in like a home league, I would have flipped those picks around and had 100%. The exact same pick. I would have had the same team. So then it goes around. I get Gus Edwards in the 4th, standard league. So he doesn't need to catch the ball to be fantastic. And right. it's like, he's my running back 3 at that point. Comes around, and I'm like, in the 5th round, I'm like, Tyler Lockett's still there. I cannot leave him there. I mean, he's a wide receiver 1. So I grabbed Tyler Lockett, even though I have DK Metcalf. Then I grabbed, what did I grab? I think I grabbed Odell, Corey Davis, Nelson Agholor, Antonio Brown. I don't remember where I drafted them, all that. But then it gets to the 9th round.
Was actually shocked that you did this.
It gets to the 9th round, and I had been doing some reading that the best teams, the people that win like the high stakes leagues, they stack wide receiver and quarterback.
Oh, are you talking about best ball leagues?
No, it's just this is like any league. There's statistics now coming out. Right. I really did a deep dive into it, and I'm really working the stack. Like I had the Dak Amari stack. I had Allen Robinson, Mr. Trubisky stack. I unintentionally done this, but I went, I'm taking Russell Wilson. He was still on the board. He has never not been a QB1, and I think he was the 10th quarterback off the board in the 9th.
Yes.
So basically, anytime he throws a touchdown, I get it. And it stacks.
Because they only have like 4 wide receivers on that roster.
Yeah, and Dwayne Eskridge isn't going to be an immediate contributor. I mean, he had injuries, and I think he had COVID protocol, so he's coming a little bit slow off the gate.
The only guy who is a threat to either of those guys, and I say threat lightly, I don't mean that. Everett is just an athletic freak.
But he's the afterthought. I mean, they've done Doug Baldwin.
Right. Well, they're just not a pass.
And then Will Disley shows up. I mean, but he's value.
They're also just not a passing team.
But he's going to throw for 40 touchdowns and 4,000 yards in 17 games. It's what he does.
I don't think he's going to throw for 40 touchdowns. I would. That would be. If anyone's betting that, I'll take the under. But
oh wow, okay. And then you know I got the 3 great running backs, and then I went after guys that I thought could be the ones on their teams: David Johnson, Sony Michel, who the running style is the exact same as Georgia, where Todd Gurley was famous, and then turned around and was incredible in the NFL. And Sony Michel has some metrics that say he was actually better as a rusher than Nick Chubb and Derrick Henry within a certain scheme last year. And that happens to be the Rams schemes. They paid up for him. And then I grabbed Ty Johnson as well, who could be the running back 1 for the Jets. Run first, Shanahan style offense. Even if he gets Jets, 12 rushes.
Everyone's talking about the Jets on who's going to be the running back 1. But they have to remember, I don't know. They very well could just pull from the Shanahan book of tricks. And they could go a very 10-10-10 kind of
and that's
style.
Fine, but if I get the guy who I think has the most explosion on that roster, like Michael Carter, I liked him as a 4th round pick. He didn't look explosive in the preseason. Now, rookies got to learn, but Ty Johnson looked like the most explosive player, and Tevin Coleman, he was explosive 5 years ago, but so that we got Brett Coleman, John Heldenkamp, Alec, Andy, we got a couple other fantasy analysts that I'm forgetting off the top of my head. But we have some really big name people in there. And I came out of that draft and I went, if the Seahawks are good, Which they always are.
They should be good.
They always are. I'm going to dominate within this league. And to say that in a league among analysts, I got incredible value everywhere. Sure. And I coming away from a league like that that's new and you're learning 12-team league, I felt so good about it coming out. I literally didn't panic on it, any of the picks.
The only thing that I didn't like about that league was me and Alec were drafting from the same room, and he was sitting on my couch 10 feet from me, and he was sniping me. He sniped me four picks in a row. I was so upset with him. All right, our least favorite drafts and why. League of Unextraordinary Gentlemen, that is our new super flex hybrid keeper league. That's where you pick three players and you get to keep one, and then the other two go into a random pool, right?
No, so you get to keep one player safe.
Okay.
For sure. One for sure keeper, but you can't do the same player year after year. So Mahomes can't be the forever protected.
Now, do they take the place of where they were drafted, or do they just all take the number one pick, or how does it work?
No, it's not where they were drafted. It is just they are keepers. They are just off the board, and then it's just a full draft. Oh,
okay, so they're just on your team. Okay.
Yep, they're just on your team. Then it's three players. So you submit three players, then randomly you get to keep two. So talent gets back into there.
It's just a matter of how you want to do it.
But, we'll do it right before the draft. So, if we'll really anticipate for injuries and all that stuff so people don't get locked in on keepers that are terrible. It makes just going to make the league better. But it's going to be, a pre-draft thing that is going to be crazy because things are going to get injected back in. It's going to change the draft board, and it's going to be last minute. I think it's going to be fun and chaotic. I actually got the idea of the modification from the Fantasy Footballers.
Yep, I thought about that.
Yep, but it's
That was for sure my least favorite.
Yeah, you didn't do draft. So hot in that one. Outdid you.
I reached.
Love you, Trevor.
I knew I reached there, and that was. Let me pull it up here really quick. And this one, I was kind of like, I don't normally go for a QB. I very rarely get Murray, Jackson. But this is super flex, so I did reach a little bit for my QB, and I thought I will take Lamar a little earlier. I'm happy with my wide receivers in Jefferson and Deontay Johnson. Johnson's a phenomenal.
It's
too.
Full PPR too. So
the most lose, yeah, exactly. But the most I reached for, I have not done this in a league yet. I've done a couple mocks of this. Was TJ Hockenson? He should be good. It's PPR. I am not upset with getting him, but could I have gotten value other places? I think I definitely could have. That's my biggest mistake from that. But when we're we're experienced fantasy players, the minute you make one of those picks in your head, you go, I don't know about that.
Yeah. Well, the thing that concerns me with that, you have to be disappointed. You're running back depth. If Trey Sermon does not hit this year and Raheem Mostert is a guy,
I have to make some trades.
You are in deep water.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I'm very happy with my starting running backs, but I don't have anything as a – I don't have a backup. I'm going to have to be doing some major trade talks here.
Chase Edmonds is my running back four. So.
Yeah. My running back four is –
Jamal, Kenyon Drake.
Jamal Williams probably.
Oh. Yeah. But. My least favorite – so this is – we had a rookie draft. I had the 101 – and I was going back and forth with Trevor. So two things that I didn't like. I was looking to accumulate future draft picks because I just won the championship. I had a really young team that I could run it back with. I wanted Jamar Chase. So I got up to the 101, and I still had the 104. And I was going back and forth. And I'm not even kidding. Trevor and I went back and forth on this trade so many times. And I finally just went to pull it, and I hit the button. And he literally accepted it the moment beforehand.
All right.
And that turned into Kyle Pitts.
And it did. Now, are you upset? Would you have taken Kyle Pitts at the 104? I mean, yes, you are tight end.
He ended up moving up, and that's why I would have done it, because if I had thought about it a little bit more, I would have done that. And the other thing was I traded out of, I think, the 206, because I said Justin Fields is a running quarterback. There's no way he's there. and I made a mistake. I could have had Justin Fields, and now, like, I've tried.
You try to get Justin Fields a lot in this offseason.
Yeah. And anyway. Jess, did Jess tell you?
Yeah, oh yeah. Just told
me. Yeah.
Okay, so let's go over. We both have two players here that we're very, very excited for the fantasy football season. Who's your first player that you're the most excited for fantasy?
So I can't. I'm a Peyton Manning truther. I truly believe he is the regular season goat. I think he's the best brain to ever enter a football field. That he's he was just built differently, but he was a winner and made incredible teams. Tom Brady is just a different player to be coming out. I mean, Peyton Manning's in the Hall of Fame now, and Tom Brady just won a Super Bowl. Like, that's crazy. If he had never had that neck injury, I would love to see them still duking it out.
Right. It's more common now that you could play longer. But
TB12 has the craziest amount of weapons I've ever seen. The depth at every single level of the offense, and anyone's ever had. There's not a better skill set, skilled positions anywhere. I mean, Scotty Miller is a burner, and he is your wide receiver 4.
Yeah.
And he had like 5 40-yard touchdowns last year. And Tyler Johnson and Jalen Jordan. I mean, Antonio Brown is their wide receiver 3. I mean,
right before we started drafting, Tom Brady has made him white. Right before we started drafting, Tom Brady in a 12-man league was going in the 10th round. People wised up the last 2 weeks because now he's going absolutely. In the 7th
he's
or 8th.
He's in the 7th, and it hurt me so much. But I ended up he was my target. I believe he is the QB1 in 6-point passing.
Oh, and 100% 6-point passing. And he's top. I mean,
I have risen on him to where in 4-point, I think he's 3, which is
I think he's top 5.
I think he outperforms Mahomes. I think he's coming for all the records because he has his crazy.
I don't even think that he's done after this year. I think that he will come back for another year. If things go well, even if they don't win a title, I think that he comes back for another
year. If he's still feeling good, then yeah, he's still going to do it. But this year, I cannot wait to watch him. I think he's coming for the passing yards record and the passing touchdown record, and I think he's going to get them as long as they have. He has the best offensive line in football. He has the best weapons, and that defense is insane. I mean, no team can run against them.
I'm all about it. I agree with you.
I am all in on the Bucs, and just watching Tom Brady pick apart TV, your third cornerback, even if you have everything locked down, you play perfect coverage. Then you have to deal with the combination of Gronk and Howard. They could trot those two out there. You have to cover both.
You forget. Everyone forgets that OJ Howard is there. Like,
he didn't
understand
look that good this preseason. I think his injury really capped him.
I'm sure it did. But you know what, though? If you get OJ Howard at half of what OJ Howard's ceiling can be, as because before they needed him as a star player, he's
like
a role player now.
Option.
No, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Oh, my gosh. It's just. A top 10 pick is your 7th option. And, like, he was good aside from the injury. And it's like Tom Brady's going to find him. Who's your guy?
Guy I'm most excited for just because of the way he's falling, obviously, is I love Barkley. We talked about it at the top of the episode. Barkley is phenomenal. I think that he's a great talent. He can catch the ball. He has some of the best footwork I've seen in somebody of that size at the running back position. He's just insane, and I love good football, so I'm just excited for him. I have a lot of faith in him. I really only have him in one league, which is crazy, but the fact that no one is selling, even though things are kind of low on him, just tells me everything I need. People are holding him. They have faith in him still. It's not like people are shipping Barkley.
I'll take Barkley from you.
Yeah, no, I think that he has. I really do think that even on a bad offense, I mean, Christian McCaffrey was on a bad offense for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Like, you can be a phenomenal running back if you've got the talent and vision. Vision is so important. No one talks about that in the realm of fantasy.
Yeah,
they talk about physical attributes, speed, and size. But vision is so important because that turns a play that is a dud into a 20-yard snap-off. And Barkley has that ability. People are low on him. I am very high on Barkley this season.
And I'm not so much low. I'm just not taking the risk.
Sure.
There's a difference. I think Barkley is a freak. But there's somebody else who is a freak. And I have him ranked above Barkley in every format.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Austin Eckler.
He's really embracing the fantasy community. Have you seen that?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I love him. He's been a gem. He's a wonderful human being. And he's going to catch. He's going to get like a CMC-like workload.
He should.
They literally cut Tyrone Johnson from their team. Right. Not because they had better wide receivers like Josh Palmer from Tennessee, the third round pick.
I'm very excited for him.
I think he's going to get on the field, but Austin Eckler is the number two option in that offense.
And yeah, I mean, like, it's not Cook.
I was just talking about this on the other podcast, and they kept showing highlights of Derwin James, and he kept picking balls off in camp, and they kept showing these things. And every single time, do you know who he was covering?
Who is he covering?
Austin Eckler. And do you
Which means that they're going to him.
It means that they're going to them, and they were crazy athletic plays by Derwin James.
Which is how that should be. If Derwin James is healthy this year, that defense is going to be nuts.
He's a top five defensive player in the league if he's healthy. He just doesn't make sense. But it was taking crazy athletic plays from Derwin James to stop wheel routes to Austin Eckler. Like, Herbert's throwing dimes, and it's just shut down. Like, anybody else that works against, which is why he's throwing that ball. Austin Eckler is going to go crazy. I have him in Dynasty. I just took him in our Superflex. I literally passed on taking a quarterback, passed on taking Lamar, I believe, because he ended up getting back to you in the second. I passed on Lamar Jackson because I believe Austin Eckler in PPR is like top three potential.
Yeah, I think in PPR, he definitely could hit that.
He's going to get 100 catches.
I'm huge. That's 100 points right Justin there.
If he gets like 8 passing receiving touchdowns, and like 2 rushing touchdowns, if he gets that 10 touchdown threshold, there's no stopping him. He is at that threshold.
And then my final guy is, a lot of people don't disagree here. These are just guys we're excited for. I'm super stoked for Terry McLaurin. I think that he has solid chance for top 5 potential. We've seen it in his athletic profile. Like, and if there's one thing we know about Ryan Fitzmagic is he likes to air it out to his receivers. I don't see that changing. I don't see a world where Terry McLaurin, if he plays all of his games, can't be a top 5 receiver. I think he could be the number 1 receiver. I'm not predicting that. I think he's got the ability to get there, but I'm very comfortable calling a top 5 season for Terry McLaurin.
And I'm calling it.
Yeah,
he's got some stiff competition. Not that I don't love him. I believe he's a wide receiver one. It's things have to break his way to his best shot is in standard, where he's not going to have 150 targets, but he's going to be crazy efficient. But then you have guys like AJ Brown, you know, and DK Metcalf that I think both of them are better than he is. Now he's right behind those guys. He is nipping at their heels. But those two are both better than him.
The thing I like about Terry McLaurin is just that I have seen amazing things from him, like on certain plays and certain games. And I also, you look at his QB play and it's abysmal. It's the Allen Robinson effect. You know, it's just, you look at who has been his QB and you could just go, I mean, he's going to have the best QB he's had. And it's Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's not even a great QB either.
That going from Blake Bortles to Mitchell Trubisky to Nick Foles to Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
I mean, Allen Robinson is a back end wide receiver one.
Right.
And always will be. I think Terry.
Well, I don't know about always will be. Allen Robinson's on the tag, right?
Yeah.
And he's going to be on the tag again next year, probably if Justin Fields has a good season, because they're going to either have to tag him or they're going to have to get him to commit and be like, we're signing you along.
I think that they won't tag him twice. They will either Fields hits and he commits to it.
Yep.
And they will have the cap space to make it happen. But Terry McLaurin, I can't buy into the top 5. I can see him. I just don't see the path. I see him in a less like there's so many crazy good wide receivers. Like
there are. No, they're totally there.
Tyreek, Devontae, Diggs, Ridley. Just there's Hopkins, Justin Jefferson. There's just too many crazy assets to make that
defer you to justify it. That's totally cool. I mean, again, these are like just our individual, like who are we most excited to see? We're almost out of time here. We got 5 minutes left. You want to kind of look into the Thursday night game? It's Tampa Bay, Dallas Cowboys. What fantasy implications are we talking about here?
Start all of the Buccaneers that you can.
Yeah. If you had to start one Tampa Bay wide receiver, who are you starting?
I'm starting Mike Evans based off of everything out of camp. They said that he's come in slimmer. He's come in faster. And he's a 6'5 dude who has been like torching people down the field.
Yeah. His 1,000 yard receiver every basically, year for 6 years.
Basically, he said Tom Brady, he went to Tom Brady and said, how can I be better?
That's a good thing to do.
And he bought all the way in. This guy, I mean, Mike Evans is the best.
Tom Brady's like, buy my book. It's TB12 diet. Start eating avocado ice cream.
Here's this trainer that wouldn't allow in the building at the Patriots, but he's living here in Tampa Bay now.
Malibu Beach home.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike Evans is the best superstar in the league that nobody appreciates. Because of the market that he's in. Additionally, I've never seen somebody, he said, I will literally eat millions of dollars to keep this team together.
Yeah.
He ate so much money he literally just declined money to allow Chris Godwin to be on the tag, to bring back Shaq Barrett. I mean, he restructured his deal in crazy ways. And because of that, they're going to reward the crap out of him. And they're going to give
Tom Brady definitely should.
They're going to give him a crazy statistical season. The Cowboys don't have anybody on the outside. Trayvon Diggs. Trayvon Diggs. He can match up in the slot. Yes, that's what I was getting so confused. He can match up in the slot. He can take one of those guys. He's not a true boundary X corner. Yeah,
no.
They don't have anybody on that defense that can take him.
No, so their slots are going to be taken probably by Diggs and probably Micah Parsons. Like Micah Parsons, have you watched a lot of him in preseason?
Yeah, he
does look like he'll be a problem for offenses, especially when he gets his rookie wings kind of taken care of. He's fast. It was funny. I was watching Hard Knocks, and there was a moment I'm like, he doesn't look that big to me. Like I said that out loud, and then I looked it up, and he is massive.
Yeah, he's a huge. He was a 5-star defensive end prospect that went to Penn State, and they're like, he's like, I want to get on the field. Can I switch to linebacker? Like, yeah, we'll let you try it.
And he was great. So I'm very excited for him. I think that their linebacking core will be good. But you're right. They don't have anyone on the outside. They don't have any safety help. Their only defensive weapon is Lawrence.
Yeah. Yeah,
To start a Cowboys wide receiver, which one are you starting?
It's Cooper because of the targets. He's a finesse guy. Their safeties are excellent. So their safeties are excellent. Their quarterbacks are good. That's probably the weakest part of their defense, and that's not good. Not good for the rest of the league. That's it. Their safeties are incredible. Their quarterbacks are good. I don't see anybody top 10, top 15 potential, but they're good. Cooper can win against them. CeeDee Lamb is the kind of break you over the top or go over the middle. Devin White and Lavonte David are going to have some things to say about that. I think Cooper and his route running is going to be how they win and move the sticks.
All right. Well, that's all we got for Fantasy Fight Night Episode 2. You have anything else you want to add before we take off?
Panthers suck.
We're going to be average, or respectably average.
We're going to be we're not going to make the playoffs this year. Bears fan,
it's funny. You can't go 500 anymore. You are either a winning team or a losing team.
We are. Well, I mean, you could tie.
Nobody likes that. Those are fake. Ties don't exist. All right. That's our episode.
Losing record. I'm just saying that right now.
If you want to hear more, check out our podcast on b3tsports.com. You can check us out on Anchor/Fantasy Fight Night. We are on Spotify and soon to be on Apple Podcasts. We will catch you next time.